Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Gordon Liddy is my muse. In the Tunnel of Love, A Tale of the Cold War. Black Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Holmes Payne on the case. Tip, the croquet player. 3. This deep down inside cliché is my flimflam, what writers call pointing, because I know where I'm headed and you don't. I wrote it when I was tired and much crankier about Germany than I've yet admitted. So, excuses made, I'll get on to the Tunnel of Love. For 3 days, my car zigzagged the northern plain like a plush scout craft. From Berlin, we drove back across to Köln, and then south on the Rhine so I could see Remagen. You don't remember if you're under 50 or not related to a Second World War vet, but Remagen was very famous for 10 days in March, 1945. Our army was stalled along the Rhine River, unable to cross because all the bridges were blown, and the Wehrmacht was dug in, apocalyptically as it turned out, on the opposite shore. That is, all the bridges except one railroad span at Remagen, where their dynamite had failed. Or that's the story. Our First Army's 3rd Corps' 9th Armored Division blasted its way to River's Edge and captured both ends of the bridge on March 7th. Victory in Europe followed, the American Army pouring into the breach like a tidal wave. It just so happened that my dad's combat engineer company was attached to 3 Corps. On the 10th day, Dad's company was assigned to climb onto the Remagen Bridge and glue it back together after all the barrages and tank crossings. Platoon leader Dad tossed a coin with another platoon leader. The winner platoon got the dry-footed bridge work. The loser had to go down into the Rhine River, mud, to tidy up our pontoon bridges, then being impolitely shelled, rocketed, bombed, and strafed by the desperate Germans. Dad lost the coin toss, and he was standing on the banks of the Rhine when the Remagen Bridge above him failed and shuddered and collapsed, of a sudden, with the winter platoon of engineers on board. I lunched in brand-new Remagen and watched the Rhine, where I might have ended before I began. My thoughts were crankhood. What are the Germans, nuts? Did they think the American Army crossed the Atlantic for a bluff? All those men and machines rolled up to the Rhine were going to turn around because the Germans were tough? Ike was going to say, oh, my mistake. I guess we're not sincere like you Germans. I also thought, 40 years isn't long enough. I can still hear the coin toss and the shelling, rocketing, bombing, and strafing directed at my dad. My big blue car descended into the rural, undulating, and fairytale Bavaria at Schweinfurt am Main. I said farewell to driver Jurga, who was 18, unctuous, and a furtive doper, and waited at the train station for brother Bunyan. Bunyan was late arriving. Our army works its junior officers scrupulously. I entertained myself by counting our M1 Abrams blockbuster tanks on the rail cars until Bunyan appeared suddenly on foot. You're here, he announced happily. I wasn't sure you'd make it. I mean, you're here. He laughed like my baby brother, but he looked quietly ferocious in officer fatigues, that superb commando-style sweater bearing his first lieutenant gold stripes. He was bigger still, and it had only been a year and a half since I'd last seen him at Mother's Christmas. How do you like it? Not much, huh? He asked. I said the M1 tanks were amazing. No, no. The town, Pig's Crossing, that's what we call it. It was a wet day, and Schweinfurt's depot is a commuter pit stop scarred by graffiti. I returned that I was fascinated by all of it, and went on to comment about Berlin and Köln. I also used some German on him to trade language skills. He frowned at this. It's okay. You don't have to, said Bunyan. We don't, you know, need it much. How's that? I asked. Bavarians speak English? Negative, said Bunyan. We just speak American. I soon learned that our army does not encourage its troops to parley auf Deutsch, and though Bunyan could do it fairly well, he'd become all army. This was a clue for my investigation, and I turned it over while we hopped into his low-slung Japanese speedster and reconnoitered the environs. It's called the Tunnel of Love, and Bunyan told me about it as soon as we passed over it. It's right beneath the road, about a kilometer long. You can see it best in winter, he said. The snow melts first over it. We were north of the clean, quaint town, midway between the two bivouacs of our armored cab. East of the road, I saw the larger barracks set back behind a tree line. Behind a stone wall nearby, there was a concrete column topped by a familiar, surly eagle with an enchained swastika for a perch. It's the only real swastika I've seen, said Bunyan. They just leave it there. He explained that once upon a time, those stone barracks had headquartered a panzer regiment. Down a ways, west of the road, Bunyan indicated our armored cav brigade headquarters in a flat glen. That was also where a Luftwaffe field used to be, he said, and our guys had moved into the same shabby wooden barracks and converted the old airfield to a tank and a helicopter parking lot. What was instantly important and confounding to me was that tunnel running a kilometer odd between the two bivouacs. The Hitlerites built it for an air raid shelter, an armory. They flooded it when they retreated, Bunyan explained, and we've just left it that way. Too dangerous to go down into because of the unexploded ordnance. Not doable. Bunyan didn't know why it's called the Tunnel of Love. It just is. Der Liebstunnel. There were more clues in what Bunyan said as we spun back through the town to his private digs. Officers live on the economy. I got very suspicious. You use the same barracks, I asked. Sure, said Bunyan. It's cheaper than building, and what the heck, they're built pretty good.
The swastika eagle is left in place?
Yeah, I've wondered about that, said Bunyan. They must have figured it didn't matter. What do you mean, cleaning out the Tunnel of Love is not doable, I asked. Hey, I just got here, he said. But it'd be a mess down there. Who's going to pay for it? What sort of frontline bunker is this, I asked. The frontest, said Bunyan. We're the Black Horse, Tip. The hostiles are just 40 clicks north. Nothing between us and the gap but speed. He meant the Fulda Gap. The gap is mythological warrior talk for a future killing field around the farm town of Fulda, to the immediate northwest of Schweinfurt and the Tunnel of Love. The gap is where our shrewdest war planners have been expecting the Reds, the hostiles, to invade civilization since the Potsdam Conference, summer 1945. Bunyan was telling me that East Germany was an easy drive north, especially in an Abrams M1 jet engine tank at 70 kph. He was also telling me that his armored cavalry regiment, the elite Black Horse, attached to our 8th Infantry Division, was at the right flank of the first day of the end of the world. Shall I repeat this? What sort of frontline bunker was Schweinfurt am Main? The sort at the end of the world on Black Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Soon enough, we were lounging in Bunyan's flat back in town. I came out of the shower to ask dumb questions about that black weekday to come. Bunyan answered bluntly, "We go into the woods and keep going." I asked which way. Bunyan pointed out his window, over a row house in a park, west toward Philadelphia. "That-a-way," he said. I peered outside. I asked if he meant regroup, fighting withdrawal, last-ditch deployment. Bunyan shrugged, "Geez, Tip. I don't know and don't want to. I do what I'm told and don't think about it." Good sci-fi spy form, I thought. I'm your brother, but you might know what you don't know. You know, so say zip. I pushed him anyway. I said that we've got just half of an armored cav regiment at Fulda, the other half here at Schweinfurt on the right flank. I asked how many divisions the Reds were pushing through the gap. "Hey," Bunyan laughed. "You ever seen what one armored division looks like when it's coming at you?" What we were discussing, with slight order of battle facts, but with much common sense, was that when World War III's DEFCON 1 sounded a klaxon blast, meaning invasion by hordes momentarily, our guys were to pile onto anything with treads, wheels, or blades and bug out. Schweinfurt is a crater waiting to happen, doom incarnate. I had flattered myself when I'd spotted the nuke plant bubble east of town, and I'd thought, well, if it's really bad, they can put an arrow into the container building and no one will want the Mine River Valley for 100 years. But our army isn't thinking about slow death. Bunyan's armored cav is to get on their black horses and advance backward to Switzerland, because this part of Bavaria is scheduled to be kaput instantly and forever. Look at the map, where East Germany sticks a knee into West Germany's belly. Belly button Fulda, to the northwest of Schweinfurt, is a sleepy town on the sleepy Fulda River, anchoring a gap in the hills between the Fulda and Main rivers, which actually becomes an armor autobahn. The Main River Valley takes your normal red T-80 driver zigzagging straight to the Rhine, where some red guys turn south for Spain, and other red guys turn northwest for London. I understood right then what's said to be between the Cold War and Comrade Sheriff of Nottingham is this exquisite rolling tank country of North Bavaria, where the farmers outproduce nature and the wine is quenching. NATO's muscle, shape, back at Brussels, isn't going to wait for a fighting withdrawal back to the Rhine while the good guys mobilize Frenchers and Brits and resupply from America by container ship. Forget that World War III sci-fi spy charade in the books. How we'll have 8 days of warning time while the Reds concentrate their divisions. How we'll have 10 days to slow them down before we have to go nuke. On the first day, in the first hour, the brass is going to sigh, maybe tell Washington, if the satellites still work, sigh again and then make Bavaria and Hesse a moonscape with some gigantic weapons, which, for no reason, don't scare voters because they are called conventional. The tiny, tiny nuclear ones aren't going to be used at first, not because of faint-hearted taboo, but because, like gas and germs, they tend to drift the poison back on you willy-nilly. By the end of that first black weekday, however, the tiny, tiny nukes are going to seem a mercy killing compared to the conventional cloudbursts. On that first day, Bunyan will be going backward, not from their rangefinders and smart bomb lock-ons, but from ours. Tom Clancy and Larry Bond, my admired mentors, listen up. No counterattacks, nifty stealth takeouts, Custer 2 last stands. Here's the actual battle scenario. Black weekday, bug out, the end. I overenjoyed this bleak vision that night at dinner with Bunyan. I was picturing myself moving from one prearranged fire coordinate to the next, as we spun through the farm fields to a potato soup restaurant and then back to his digs. I'm usually excited whenever at futuristic ground zeros. Empire State Building, Capitol Dome, Eiffel Tower, Pantheon, Kremlin. But to be inside a future former river valley is my kind of appalling fascination. I'll make a note here for the strategic treason discovered since my visit to Bavaria. It's alleged that one of our sergeants, a guy my age, sold out the 8th Division's escape plans to the Reds. Units, routes, coordinates, life expectancies. Sold them out not for politics, but for cash and hormones. If true, then my dear Bunyan was one of those boys you sold out, Sarge, and I have a private vengeance and long memory. If true, freeze in Hades, Sarge. That evening, none of my fancy patter bothered Bunyan. He knew his big brother was always making believe. Then he changed tones and told me that he didn't really comprehend the Germans. They were pleasant, but not friendly. Happy to take his marks, but unhappy about his uniform, his professionalism, his fact. He had the best time when, on days off, he dressed civvy and drove down into Bavaria, away from our bivouacs. They don't like us, he summated flatly. We spend a lot of money, and they don't like us. No fraternization. I asked if the demimondanes were accepted. They're mostly Americans, too. Certainly the German army, I tried, de Lansfair, must appreciate what we're doing here. Nope, he said. They're crummy soldiers. Just look at them. Good cadres, bad recruits. It's involuntary for them, and they hate it. Drugs and stuff. I listened and speculated. I think I even dreamed about the Tunnel of Love that first night. Then again, being buried alive is called a nightmare. I was trying to put Der Liebstunnel together with what I'd seen of Arisen Germany and fancied about our bug-out war plans. The tunnel didn't fit, and neither did the lone swastika eagle and the local antipathy to our boys. Weren't we here defending Germany from the Reds? Perhaps gratitude was overmuch, but tolerance required more than taking your money and grinning. So? Why hadn't we taken down the swastika eagle and cleaned out the tunnel of love? Why were we here until we were needed and then bug out? And then, what to make of this astounding opinion from Straight Arrow Bunyan that the Landswehr was crummy? Germans? Bad soldiers? Mostly, though, my curiosity was fantastic, since it was my intuition that the mystery about the new Germany could only be solved irrationally. This palaver isn't trickery. I truly didn't know then. Look beneath the surface, whispered Marcus Aurelius, for the intrinsic value. Okay, Emperor, I responded. What was in the tunnel of love?
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Get everything you need for your next project at Menards. Keep your gas-powered equipment running smooth with True Fuel. It's ethanol-free, ready to use, and extends the life of your equipment. Get a 110-ounce jug on sale now through June 14th. Shop our selection of True Fuel in-store and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big.